Everyone doing all right this morning? If you were here last year, on the last summer on the Sunday after camp that I got to preach, my voice sounded very similar to what it sounds like now. I got the wonderful privilege of, for the second year in a row, directing Junior High Camp 1 with two other really amazing directors. And I get really excited at camp, and I yell, and I scream, and I jump, and I go, and then by Saturday, I have no voice. So that is what's happening here. The voice I have is, by the grace of God, and many glasses of tea with honey. So it was an amazing week. Alyssa Casper and Connor Hurd and Tammy McGuire were with us out of the camp, and it was a truly amazing experience. So I actually shared a story with them that I want to share with you this morning. I was told this story from a mentor pastor of mine many, many years ago, and it's a story that's truly touched me and really changed who I am in faith. It's the story about a man named Chiun Sugihara. And Sugihara was a Japanese diplomat around the time of World War II. He spent his whole life just really fascinated by the injustices of the world, by really making a difference and changing that and making things right. He was placed in China as a diplomat there because he was so angry about the way the Chinese government was, or the Japanese government was, treating the Chinese people. And so he ended up resigning from that job because he was just so empowered by the movement of the Chinese people at the time. Later, he was appointed in Lithuania to start a Japanese consulate there, right as World War II was really getting going, and the Jewish refugees were fleeing from Germany. So in Lithuania, thousands and thousands of refugees would go into Lithuania and would stand outside of this consulate looking for help, looking for freedom, looking for someone to reach a hand out to them. So their only way to safety was to move through either Japan or to Russia, to these islands that they wanted to go to. And Russia at the time would not administer any transit visas. They wouldn't let any of the Jewish refugees go through Russia at the time, which was obviously a huge route. So Sugihara decided to write his government over and over again, requesting the permission to write transit visas for the refugees to go through Japan. Time after time, the answer he received was no, no, no. So Sugihara really had to look into himself, because he just couldn't stand to turn these refugees away, knowing that if they stayed, they would most likely die. So he goes to his wife, and he's quoted as saying to his wife, "I may have to betray my government, but I cannot go against my God." For he had recently in his life converted to Christianity. So Sugihara took it upon himself to defy his government and to spend weeks and weeks and weeks handwriting over 300 visas a day, saving an estimated of over 6,000 Jewish refugees. Nowadays, they say that's over 80,000 descendants of those 6,000 that are alive today because of the faith and the steadfast love that Sugihara had for these people. It's just absolutely amazing for Sugihara, after he had done this, actually had to go into hiding and was found and arrested for betraying his government. After he returned home after his imprisonment, he was obviously out of a job. His country looked to him as sort of a traitor. And he spent over 30 years in absolute poverty with his wife. He was about 50 years old at the time that this happened. So he spent the latter years of his life not knowing how he was going to feed his wife or himself, not knowing where they were going, what they were going to do, and not knowing if what they did was the right thing to do, and never having any idea how many people he had truly saved. 30 years after this happened, he was tracked down by a descendant of one of the refugees For in Jerusalem, they like to erect monuments and have ceremonies for those who have truly helped save many of the Jewish people, especially during that time. And it is customary in the Jewish tradition to actually build an olive tree, like a monument of olive trees. But for some reason, for some random act, they built a grove of cedar trees for Sugihara. So an 80-something-year-old Sugihara goes up to the hill on Jerusalem for this ceremony, receives this amazing honor and praise, finally gets to realize the enormity of his act, of how many lives he truly touched. And he cuts up there and he says, "My life is now fully complete because my name, Sugihara, means grove of cedars." His life had come full circle. For Sugihara had lived into his name. He had truly been who God had meant him to be. God gives us these gifts. And he granted Sugihara the gift of being able to save these people through poverty, through imprisonment, through losing everything, but knowing he was doing the right thing by God. Our scripture reading comes from Galatians chapter 3. It says, "Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. That story always touches me. It always really moves me because we don't always take advantage of the faith and the gifts we have. We don't always talk about the ways we can take action in the world. This week at junior high camp, our theme was superheroes. The idea was that we are ordinary people, ordinary men and women who were given spiritual gifts from God. And yet, if we use our spiritual gifts, we are capable of doing extraordinary things. Truly extraordinary things. So part of our curriculum, part of what we discussed is a lot of the injustices happening in the world, such as the fact that every 30 seconds there is someone in Africa who dies of malaria, a very treatable disease. How one in every third person in Africa is inflicted with HIV. How last year alone there were over 8,000 reported cases of hate crimes in the United States. How every single day people in the world are hungry and naked and not nurtured in the way that God created us to be. And so the question is how can I make a difference with that? How can I really truly impact that? How can I do anything about that? From a junior high standpoint, it's, how can I, as a 13-year-old, really make a difference in this? So we talked about that a bit. We talked about how we have this life and we have these gifts and we have two choices to make in our lives. Two choices. You can take the path of the way that God truly calls us to be. Now, this is a path of risks. This is a path where you may be looked down upon for your beliefs. This is a path where you may end up disagreeing with other people. Other people may think you're crazy, that you're not worthy, that you're not doing the right thing. Then there's the path of ease, one where we don't do anything. We maybe just slink back into the background and let the injustices of the world happen. That we watch someone get bullied. We watch someone be hungry, but yet to do something might risk ourselves. Sugihara knew that there was risk in what he did. Great risk. But he couldn't sit still. He couldn't go against his God and what his God was calling him to be. So the amazing part about being who we are in Christ is that we are equipped to deal with this. We are equipped to, as a community and as a faith community, as brothers and sisters, to truly make a difference, to truly stand up to that call and to do something about it, to make a difference, to say, you know, I know God and I know this wasn't right. So the story always, and this idea always reminds me of the resurrection story, where the woman is standing at the tomb. And she goes to the tomb because she is ready to grieve for Jesus. She is ready to wrap him, to put oil on his head, to give him his proper burial, and to mourn for his death. She is greeted with an empty tomb. And she is greeted with Jesus telling her, "Do not hold on to me. Go into the world because you do not need to grieve for me any longer." What an amazing testimony. It is so easy to focus on the resurrection and what the resurrection truly means, and then after Easter, forget about it. My friends, the tomb is still empty. Christ has still risen. He is risen among us. That is cause for celebration, not cause for holding back, not cause for keeping ourselves hidden. It is cause for us to break out from who what holds us back and move to the world of being the hands and feet of Christ. That's what the resurrection is about. That's what the resurrection means. Christ gave us new life. Christ said we don't no longer have to worry about what is in the past. We must move forward. I have a new covenant with you, Christ says. It no longer matters if you are Gentile or Jew. It no longer matters if you are a slave or you are free. It no longer matters if you are male or female, rich or poor, Bridgeport or Decatur. It no longer matters if you are straight or gay. It no longer matters if you are Republican or Democrat. No longer matters. All that matters is, it says, if you have faith, you are a child of God, my friends. We no longer need someone standing over us telling us what is right or wrong. You are doing the right or wrong thing, because that was Jesus Christ. Christ came, and then we no longer have to have that. Because if we have faith, if we truly let God lead us with our faith, there are no lines between us. Therefore, everyone deserves the help and the need and the just that comes with being a child of God. And children and youth, and we often have those bracelets that have the little acronyms on them, like WWJD or FROG. And they mean things like, what would Jesus do? Or fully rely on God. And I think we lack the understanding of what that truly means. What does it truly mean to fully rely on God? It means more than a frog symbol on a bracelet. It means being able to say, I'm going to step out here on this limb. I'm going to do something about that child over there being bullied. I'm going to do something about the people in Bridgeport that are hungry. I'm going to do something about the people in Africa dying of malaria. I'm going to do something about our church or our family problems. I'm going to do something about this issue or that issue. Because I can. Because I'm called. Because I have faith that no matter what trials I may come to, I'm taken care of. Because I fully relied on who God is. And I've laid all that out at God's feet to take care of me. There are young people in our church. There are young people in our church who are crying out. It's so easy to make the wrong choices. It's so easy to take the easy way, to follow the easy path. Everyone else is going. Everyone else is doing. It's much easier to be a part of the background than to step out and say, I know that this is not right. They look to us. They look to the adults, the parents, and the leaders of the church to set an example of that and to be the church, not just come to church. So we have a challenge. We have a challenge as a people to at the end of our life, be able to look in the mirror and say, I have come full circle. I am no longer Samantha. I'm no longer Joe, Sally, Bob, Susie, whatever your name is. I am Christian. I am a Christian, and God gave me this name, and I have fully lived into who God made me to be. My life is complete. So how do we do this? How do we set onto this path to get there, to arrive at that point in the end? At the tomb, Jesus said, don't hold on to me. You must let go. We must let go of everything standing in our way from having a true relationship with God. We must let go of worrying about what other people are going to think of us standing up for the right thing. We have to let go of the judgments. We have to let go of all of that. Then Jesus tells us to go, to take that first step. The first step is always the hardest to take. It's always the hardest to raise your hand and say, I don't think this is right. I don't believe in this. God does not want us to do this. But we're called to let go. To go, and then most importantly, to tell the world that I have seen Christ Jesus. I have seen him in all his glory. He is ascending into heaven, and I am now called to be his disciple. I am called to share that message with the world. So my friends, this day you are called to let go, to go, and to tell. And to through it all, to fully rely on God. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, it is this day that we give you thanks for the strength that you give us. For the strength and the peace and the understanding and the love that you grant each and every one of us, each and every day. Lord, bless us. Bless us as we go into the world to be your disciples. To not be separate, but to be part of one whole. Because, God, we are so much better if we are together with you. Allow us to walk in your way. Allow us to be fully and richly fed in your mercy, in your word, and your everlasting love. In your name we pray. Amen. Before we sing our invitational hymn, I'd like to...